Hi, everybody. Welcome to Once Upon an Upside. And this is the show where we talk about what's been playing on Up TV. And it's a lot of fun. I'm film critic Rachel Wagner and Bree's here.
Hey, everybody.
And Natasha wanted to be here, but just with her being in Singapore, it just didn't work out this time. But she'll be back.
We love you, Natasha.
Yes.
Team Upside, the Upside girls.
Yes. And I feel like I was somehow good karma on Up TV, because as soon as I announced that, oh, we're just going to cover the good ones, then all those like, okay, there's just good movies.
I know. February has been an awesome month on Up TV.
Yeah. Flirty February has ruled.
Cause the Happy Camper really was good. Part of it, right? Wasn't the Happy Camper? Yeah. Yes. So it's been a good month, guys. Don't sleep on Up TV. It's been a great February over there.
We really could have done solo episodes on all three so far. And then the fourth one looks really good too.
I know. Hayley Duff is like gorgeous.
Yeah.
That movie looks good.
Yeah. So who knows? We may be having another episode of Upside before you know it.
My fingers are crossed. I hope it's a win.
Yeah.
I hope it's a win. I mean, we're talking about one here, but we both did watch Luckless in Love. And yes. I feel like honorable mention, we enjoyed that one too. So that could have had its own episode.
Yeah.
But and this when I one looked was at it, like, I top tier.
Yeah. Yeah. When I looked at Lux and Love, I was like, oh, that doesn't look great. So maybe low expectations helped. But it was actually quite fun.
It was good. Yeah. It was good.
I like both of the leads, and it had a sassy, fun sense of humor.
Yeah.
To it.
Yeah. And like following a single parent is good. And the whole, like, you know, just, I think it was really realistic of like, I want to be sure this is a definite thing before I introduce you to my kid kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you really understood why that was kind of a secret, but yeah, they're the writers, whoever they've been like bringing on as writers or just the movies they've been choosing or what, however it works, have really been really realistic and fun this month.
Yeah. Well, and I was thinking about it that I wonder if the reason why the non-Christmas movies are a little better for Up and some of the other networks is just it's like on the Christmas movies, there may be the third or fourth people to get to pick, you know, from the produced films. Whereas like, there's not as much competition for the scripts in
the later
February so they're like two.
Yeah. Like it's almost like, I think we were texting about this. I feel like everybody's doing Christmas, right? So there's just all this pressure to put out great Christmas. And then like the rest of the year comes and I'm like, where's that same energy that we put into Christmas for like Valentine's Day? I mean, come on guys, take the calendar prompt and celebrate the day of romance. But yeah, I feel like Up TV really brought it this year, like more so than any of the other networks. I'm sorry, no shade, but like I've had a fun time watching Up TV this month.
Yeah. Yeah. I have too. Well, we're talking about Mixed Baggage today. Yes.
You watched it three times.
I watched it three times, which is insane. I mean, cause I just don't have time to rewatch movies very often, but I love this movie. I think it is one of the best TV movies I've ever seen.
Oh my God. Okay. So listeners, I have to share, like Rachel kind of throws it out into the ether, like, hey guys, maybe we should talk about this movie. And so I'm like, okay. So I watch it and I immediately text you and I was like, okay, you're right. It's great. And then like, I hop on Twitter this morning and it's like, I'm watching it for the third time. I'm like, oh my God.
It is like my greatest joy in life to have that moment with one of my friends, you know, that I recommend it, one of these movies or any movie really. And they're like, oh my gosh, it was so good. Thank you so much. And I, you know, it's very hard to pull off what they pull off here.
So much of this should have not worked for us, right? Like I was thinking about that. I was like, we usually don't like movies like this.
Yeah. The like multiple stories. Cause usually you feel like, oh, you wish it was just about one or particular of the stories. It's kind of like with The Help, you know, you just kind of wish that Skeeter's scenes would move along and we could get back to Abilene.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's the best character in the story. And so often I feel that way in these kinds of stories, but I genuinely loved all three. If they were the three of the romances, if they were to tell me that they were going to start like that, this was a pilot for a series and we were going to get to know more about these people, I would be thrilled.
Yeah.
I loved all three.
And I mean, we looked into it and we may be wrong, but as far as we could tell, like, this is the first script that I'm assuming, you know, I'm sure the writer of this script has written plenty of other scripts, but like, this is the first one that shows up online. So like, Ali Calamari, if you're listening to this, we want to talk to you.
Yeah, please, please. I have tried to find her on social media, on IMDb Pro. There's no contact, no representative, no agent to contact. So there's really no way to contact Ali, but we would love to talk to you.
Yes.
So if anybody involved hears this and knows her,
we love the movie. We want to talk to her.
Really loved it. And one thing that was really interesting, and this is just a little tidbit, is that this was produced by Larry Levinson, who used to be like the king of Hallmark. Really? He used to, like, back in like 2015, 2016, they were all Larry Levinson. And I haven't seen his name in one of these movies in a long time. Oh. So I'm like, is he back?
Yeah.
Larry back. And if he is, then he picked a good one to be back for.
Oh, it's so good.
Awesome. So I thought that was kind of interesting that, because he did like all the Love Comes Softly and, you know, sort of that era of Hallmark movies. That was him. And so anyway, that was interesting, I thought.
Yeah.
we have three couples here. And I kind of divided in my notes each couple's journey, but they're all mixed together. And I thought that they did such a good job of kind of blending everybody, having people come in and out. And, you know, one minute it's Evie talking to Olivia, and then another it's Raymond talking to Jake, and then Jake and Olivia, and then Jake, you know, so they were combining back and forth,
Ho, ho, ho. We'd like to take a second and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. It's the Hallmarkies Patreon.
Do you love Hallmarkies podcast, especially at Christmas?
Do you enjoy the holiday previews, recaps, interviews, and bonus episodes?
If the answer is yes, please consider supporting the Hallmarkies Patreon. We need your help to do what we do both during the Christmas season and all year round.
But not only do you help a podcast led by strong, independent women by becoming a Patreon, you get to become a part of the Hallmarkies family.
Starting at only $2 a month as a patron, you will have access to our Facebook Patreon group where we talk about the movies, shows, and more all year.
We also have many monthly patron watch-alongs with guests like Lacey Chabert, Natalie Hall, Paul Campbell, Mary Lou Henner, and more, giving their behind-the-scenes details of their films.
As a patron, you also have the chance to provide input into the podcast and even join us at different tiers.
So this Christmas season, spread some cheer to the Hallmarkies Patreon and become a member today. You won't regret it.
Go to patreon.com/Hallmarkies to learn more.
That's patreon.com/Hallmarkies.
So we had a couple. One is Leon Lapp and Spencer Lord playing Evie and Jake.
Yes.
And then we have couple two, we have Faith Wright and Alex Burima playing Olivia and Raymond or Ray. And then we have Shannon Baker and Shaughnessy Redden playing Barbara and Michael.
Yeah.
And did you have a favorite of the three couples?
I don't know. I don't know. I know you liked Barbara and Michael.
Yes. I loved Barbara and Michael. That would be my only critique, is I wish we had one more scene with them.
Those two.
Yeah.
They were so sweet.
Oh, it was so good.
I don't know. I don't think I have like a favorite. I really loved all three couples. And usually we would have watched a movie like this and felt like somebody's romance wasn't fleshed out all the way, but like some kind of way everything felt concluded. Like,
I
loved all of them.
And I was glad that part of this movie is set in Vancouver, because the Canadian was showing frequently in this movie.
Yeah.
Especially every time any of them said bag. He had her bag.
Yeah, it's like it's a lot of flying between California and Vancouver going on in this movie.
Yeah, so they got all those bags.
Yeah.
really funny to me. I'm like, none of these people seem like Los Angelans.
Yeah.
You switch bags.
I was waiting on an A to like slip in there, you know? But.
Yeah. No. especially Barbara. She mm-hmm. was really strong. I mean, she was in Vancouver, or her character was in Vancouver, so it was fine.
Yeah.
But it just kind of made me laugh. I'm like, are they sorry? I'm sorry.
I love the sorry. I love it.
Yeah.
And like my friends that are Canadian say sorry. They say it for everything. I'm like, stop saying you're sorry. It's okay. Yeah. Don't just say it so much.
Yeah.
So polite. We're so rude.
Yeah. And I like the way too that each of these couples is a different kind of relationship.
Yeah.
You know, you have like the they're working together, but in like, I don't know what trope you'd call Barbara and Michael.
Like a workplace.
Yeah. It's like workplace kind yeah. of, and then you have,
and there's like the beginning stages of a romance, like the beginning. Yeah.
And it's been like brewing. It's kind of friends to lovers.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Kind of. Yeah. And then Olivia and Ray, where they've been in this relationship for a long time.
6 years.
Yeah. 6 years. And then the basically love at first sight with yeah. Evie and Jake.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
All right.
How do you stop thinking? What did he say? Hold on. I have it in my notes, a quote of his. He says, how do you tell someone that you hardly know that you can't stop thinking about
yeah.
them?
Oh my gosh. So good. So yes, so Evie and Jake, they have the meet cute on the plane. They end up switching bags.
You just had to do it.
Yeah. And they start off that he doesn't believe in happy endings, mm-hmm. but they still manage to exchange digits on the plane. But he's like big into his stress coping, his trauma coping mechanism is doing origami. So he makes her a paper rose. That's kind of a theme throughout.
Yeah.
And
we have to put in there, like the whole mixing of the bags is very realistic. Like there's a lady sitting next to him who yes. something was going on with her bag. I'm going to say it the right way. I'm saying it the States way. Okay. And so the flight attendant was like, okay, ma'am, I'll fix it for you. So it's actually the flight attendant just doing her job, not really realizing, okay, there are two bags that look exactly the same. So it's yeah. a total mishap. That's neither one of their faults.
Yeah. And she's going to LA to get this nose for they're making a Cyrano de Bergerac movie. And Michael is the, director, producer, something.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he's in charge of the movie.
Yeah.
And so he's like, and she's the associate producer because she likes putting all things together. She's not mm-hmm. like up in front of the camera person. And so she's going to LA to get this nose. Definitely, they couldn't FedEx it. They have to.
Yeah. And it's in the bag.
In the bag. And he is going to he's going to pick up this ring and then
Phoenix.
for his friend, and that's how they end up getting the bags switched, and then he's like really taken with her immediately. And then you also have them starting this, Jake and Ray and Olivia are starting this pottery studio.
Yeah.
Yeah. They put like tons of work into you.
Looks total like LA hipster vibe. Mm-hmm. Really cool place.
Yeah. And that ring was like legit. It was huge.
It was. Yeah. So like they both have reasons why they need their bag. It's not like, yeah. oh, the airport lost my bag with all my clothes and my toothbrush. Like there's a ring in the bag that belongs to like this guy that's wanting to propose. And there's a nose mm-hmm. for a movie.
Yeah.
It has to be that nose.
So Jake ends up going up to Vancouver to switch the bags, but Evie has also gone to LA. And so Evie meets with Olivia, and because there's a flyer in the bag, and she thinks that Jake is about to propose to Olivia. So that's where we get some, and she buys a bowl from Olivia, and so she thinks she's waiting for, oh, Jake's must be proposing
to her. Yeah.
Yeah. And I liked the fact that they just allowed this relationship to be innocent and sweet. Like it wasn't a cynical movie, you know, and in some areas they would probably be like, you're crazy, what are you doing, like falling for this guy that you just met on the plane.
yeah
but I appreciated the lack of cynicism. It was good.
And I think the I mean, obviously the whole bag situation is such a vehicle for like the rest of the plot, because like, you know, there's a minute there where they kind of forget about each other because they're so focused on, oh gosh, I don't have my bag. And they were carry-ons. So it's not like the airport is like, oh yeah, we can track down everybody that had a bag checked in or whatever. Right. So it becomes like a mystery for a little bit of like, whose is it? And then it's just that much sweeter once they realize, oh, it's that person I was sitting across from, kind of thing.
Yeah. And it was a really good movie as far as friendship, because because you had nice moments between all these characters, between Olivia and Evie and Olivia and Jake and Ray, all these different characters, you had these moments of friendship between them.
Yeah. And when she meets with Olivia, she doesn't realize it's him at that time, right? Or does she?
She
does.
She just thinks that Olivia is his girlfriend.
Right. And then she later goes to the bag. She does. She hadn't went through the bag all the way yet. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And
right. Yeah.
When she starts piecing it together, she sees the bridal magazine and Olivia's like, oh, you know, we've been together 6 years. I'm just wanting him to propose. And
And he's talking to Olivia and she says, ask her out, dummy. Hi, this is Jake from the plane. Would you like to go out with me? And then he says, how do you tell someone that you hardly know that you can't stop thinking of them?
Yes. Cute.
Adorable. and then he texts Evie, but then it turns out he has the wrong number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't realize he has the wrong number either. I was like, why isn't she like getting any of his messages? We don't realize that either at first.
Yeah.
Which, listeners, her real name is Everett. She goes by Evie. He's like for Everett Jones.
She ends up being late for her plane, and then she's talking to Michael, and Michael says, "You can stay down there. You're not fired," because he doesn't want her to be with Ted. Ted, the sound guy.
The sound guy.
Poor Ted. He's probably a nice guy. Yeah.
So the tone kind of switches. I mean, he's never a jerk boss or anything, but he is very much like, we need that nose. We're now 2 days behind schedule. Yeah. You need to. And then like Barbara's like, you know, it's the guy from across the row at the plane. And all of a sudden he's kind of like rooting for this too. Yeah. So sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. He says, it's not every day you meet a guy on a plane who happens to not be engaged.
Yeah. But then she starts to think he's engaged.
Yeah. And then you have this scene with Jake, and he's talking to
bless you.
You have this scene with Jake talking to this random lady at the grocery store parking lot. And
I loved that.
Like, yeah, that was a really fun scene. And I was like, what should I do? And he's just
like, I wrote, I love parking lot advice.
Yes. And then they have, so there's this engagement party that they all end up going to of their friends. And we'll talk more about that with Ray and Olivia, but it end up being their first date for Jake and Evie. Mm-hmm. And he's like, is this weird? And then Evie's like, no, I'm having a great time. We find out that she's from Gilroy, California, which is the home of the garlic festival.
Yeah.
There's kind of like an awkward hug at the end of the party. And so they both kind of feel like, oh, that date wasn't that great, but they're still interested in each other.
Yeah.
But it was a
bad first date. It was bad. So bad.
But in an entertaining way. And so he asks her to the opening of the studio, but she's like, oh, I'm too busy, got too much going on. And so Raymond's like, go to Canada now.
Yeah.
And
which is interesting because Raymond's like, bless his heart, he's not the most romantic of guys.
Yes.
But at this point he's like, dude, go after her, grand gesture.
But as they're saying that, she's all of a sudden there at the party, at the store opening party. And so he's like, okay, here we go. And they see each other. And he says, this has been a dream of mine for years, but it didn't feel good without someone to share it with.
Yeah. Which I think, while all of this is going on, I think it's important to note that, like, Raymond in the beginning of the movie was sitting with Olivia, and she kind of makes this joke about a friend, another friend group of theirs, who the guy proposed at a restaurant, and he's been wanting to propose. And yes. I guess he had plans to propose at a restaurant. And so she makes kind of fun of it. So now he's been rethinking, how do I make this proposal special? So, like, we have Barbara and Michael romance up on scene up in Vancouver, and all the while too, Olivia's wanting him to propose, and he has the ring and he wants to propose, but she just kind of like shot down his idea. So he's like, also like, and so the whole movie, you're like, is he going to do it now? You know, is he going to do it now at the grand opening? This movie has a lot going on, and I think it all flows perfectly.
Yeah, it's so well written. This is just so good. And he says, did they change the ending to Cyrano? Because if you know, Cyrano ends the story, is this tragic story. Mm-hmm. He said, she says, you still don't believe in happy endings? I'm starting to. I died. It was so good. And then there's this great scene with them kissing under the umbrella in the rain, and they exchange numbers. She writes in his contact, Evie from the plane.
And she walks away, but then she has to run back and kiss him again.
I wish I didn't have to go.
I know.
And so then they end up on the plane together at the end. And he asked the woman if they can switch planes so I can sit with my girlfriend.
Yeah.
She's like, girlfriend.
Yeah. Oh yeah. If she'll switch seats with him, he's like, I'm back there in 37 or something like that. And she's like, okay.
He's like, this is my grand gesture. Which is so
that
cute.
That was so classic. It was so sweet.
And they're holding hands across the aisle.
He doesn't need the origami anymore. He's not nervous.
Yeah. And in one of the back and forths to Vancouver, she sits in the seat where he left the origami rose before. So it's kismet.
That part was a little blurry because I thought the flight attendant picked it up.
No. Well, there's two. Orange, two roses.
He made two?
Yeah, the first one, I think that's when the flight attendant took. And then the second one, he leaves in there, and then she finds.
She happens
to sit behind it.
Yeah, I was is this a misstep or am I tripping? I thought the flight attendant picked it up. I was like, no, his number's in there.
And like I said, I'm sure there are some people who would just be like, oh, this is so ridiculous, unrealistic. But I feel like most great love affairs have a certain degree of like whimsy and charm to them. When you hear people telling their stories, it's like, wow, how could those people meet at just the right time? So this is definitely like a fast romance. They definitely become invested in each other very quickly, but I'm fine with it. I was glad that they didn't go cynical, that it was just a sweet, lovely little romance for Evie and Jake.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Yeah. So let's talk about Olivia and Raymond, or Ray. And so he is proposing. Jake has the ring. They're setting up this pottery store. Jake is an investor in the pottery store in LA. And they have these friends who get engaged after only 6 months. And he's kind of cynical about it. Like, how can they even know of each other? And she's just kind of like,
Yeah.
I love them so much. Yeah. They were great. And yeah. And the friend had proposed in the food, like had the ring in the food.
Yeah,
and she's like that putting. She says putting the diamond in the dessert is a cliche, and so then he starts to get worried about his proposal. Yeah.
She's like, I don't want to chip a tooth.
Yeah,
I was like, same girl.
And Jake said, so Jake ends up giving him the ring once they get it back. And he says, you're thinking way too hard about this proposal. She loves you, which is true. I think that, I don't know. I don't think it really matters that much. It just matters if you're getting married. I mean, like to have a nice story, I guess, but.
I know, especially like after 6 years, that's a long time to be like dating. Like at that point, I don't think she really cares. She loves you. And I think she says it later on in the movie, Evie's like, the lucky part of it is you know what she's going to say. She's going to say yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And Evie meets Raymond and Olivia, and she says, this is your boyfriend, the one who hasn't proposed. Yeah. And she's like, oh, sorry. That was awkward. He's like, is this the way you're introducing me to all your friends?
She was just thrilled to realize, like, oh, she's not in a relationship with Jake. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Evie says to Ray, I've never pressured you. Every person I know asks me, when are you going to tie the knot? Mm-hmm. And then he gets kind of cranky and he says, maybe you should find a ring and plan the perfect proposal your girlfriends won't make fun of.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh,
yeah.
Ray.
The pressure.
Yeah. Give me space to do things in my own time and way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so we have Evie talking to Raymond and says, those extravagant movie moments are scripted and fake. What you and Olivia have is real.
Yeah. Oh, and, I love that.
Yeah. And then Raymond makes the cappuccino for Evie. And she's like, that kind of looks the image on the cappuccino, looks kind of like an engagement ring. So it's like hint.
Yeah. Even though the coffee's gross.
Yeah.
He clearly can't make coffee.
And I hate this whole, their friends ask, when are you going to make an honest woman out of Olivia? This is at the engagement party. Their friends are like, when are you going to make hint? I hate that honest woman.
Yeah. Me too.
That's rude.
But yeah. I think that it showed, what they have to be, what, like late 20s and stuff, like,
yeah,
just the societal pressure of like that is kind of the age where people's friends start getting married, and here they are, they've been in a relationship for 6 years and it's like they've been together for like 6 months and he popped the question, you know, like this is that time in people's lives when we start to see a certain age demographic getting married, you know. So I thought it did a great job.
And I feel like a lot of people end up having children and things like that. And it just sort of is a natural progression to, after 6 years, to want that like next kind of move the relationship to the next level. There are people who are perfectly happy, you know, in a committed relationship, and that's fine too. But I think a lot of people kind of want to want to make that next step after, certainly after 6 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Olivia says, we don't need to get married. I know what we have and it's great. And, but he takes the wrong message from that. He thinks, oh, well, she doesn't want to get married.
Yeah.
When she's trying to like reduce the pressure.
And yeah, Jake tells him like, she wants what she thinks you want. You know, she probably thinks you don't want to get married. So she's kind of made peace with, I'll just have what he's having.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he says to Jake, he says, you went on one bad date and you're ready to give it all up.
Yeah.
He also says, it's like Olivia. She's moody. I have to ask her 3 times before she actually tells me what she thinks about something.
She's on her phone way too much.
Yeah. She complains about her mother incessantly. She spends way too much time on her phone, but she's also incredibly patient. She calms me down when I'm getting worked up about things. She knows when I'm getting worked up about things. She knows just by looking at me if I need a hug. Let me say that again. But she's also incredibly patient. She calms me down when I'm getting worked up about things. She knows just by looking at me if I need a hug or need space.
Yeah.
Which is so sweet.
I love that. Yeah.
Evie probably isn't perfect, but she might just be perfect for you.
Yeah. I mean, because Jake is a little awkward. So
yeah. And I love the friendship between Jake and Ray. I think it's really sweet to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved all the friendships in this. It showed how important if you have a tight friend group, they are part of the package. Like you're taking them on too, you know? And so I loved seeing the run-ins with Evie, with them really before the romance starts to really kick off with Jake, because they are going to be so much a part of, you know, her life now, if she like takes this relationship on. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I like at the end of this speech, when he says Evie probably isn't perfect, but she might be perfect for you. Then Jake says, you know, that's a pretty solid proposal speech right there.
It is.
That's really cute. And then he says, I think they're going to be okay. How about us? I think we will definitely be okay.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you and you supporting my dreams. And then we get the big proposal, which I thought was just perfect the way it was handled. He's got the cappuccino, engagement cappuccino, but he had said, you know, that you should, why don't you propose to me? And so they end up both saying, will you marry me at the same time? Yeah.
And both sliding rings on the other's finger. It was just time, you know, time had kind of run out at that point. Yeah. It's like, okay, bro, you have totally like missed your chance. She's going for it.
I loved the way she was like,
yeah.
It was so cute. I loved it. Those two actors had, I mean, they all had great chemistry in this, but those two really
they felt like a real relationship.
Mm-hmm. Faith Wright and Alex Burima, they rocked it. They were so good. All right. Well, let's talk about Barbara and Michael.
Your fave. Okay. Why are these two your fave?
I felt like I connected particularly with Barbara, that I feel like I would say sort of the same things, or I just felt like she was me in this movie.
Yeah.
You know,
they felt like a little older too. Like they felt, I don't know, like her and Evie are definitely obviously close, but she seems a little older and mature.
Yeah.
Just, you know, not married or whatever. So yeah,
and I think that's why I connected with her and her when she's talking about that she had discounted something years before and just, I don't know, just her whole personality, her insecurities, I really connected with and felt like, okay, this is me in this movie of all the characters.
She had like big sister vibes, like big sis vibes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I thought they had incredible chemistry, of probably the best even of the three couples. I thought they were just great. And I think you don't really see couples like that much in these movies. Mm-hmm. Sort of an older couple, their connection, and they weren't in the movie that much. They really only had about three scenes together.
They weren't, but every scene counted. Yeah. Yes.
And there's at the beginning, he's just kind of the cranky boss. And this movie is being shot in Vancouver. And then he says, you can't rush art. Everyone has a problem. Nobody wants to solve it. And Michael's kind of upset with Evie and Barbara. And Barbara's like the makeup artist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On the set. And then you get the impression they've worked together a lot.
Yeah.
Like, which I think is true.
A coffee. And I was like, how do you know he needs a coffee, Barbara?
And she says, I was scared to even talk to you. And then he says, why do you think I like hanging out in the makeup trailer?
Oh, he's so swoon worthy. Yes.
And she says, we do have chemistry, but we work together. It's just going to get too complicated. And then she is talking with Evie and she's like, oh, Olivia, I hate her already. And you have this great scene where he asks her out to dinner. He says now she wants to date Ted from the sound department, who lives with his grandmother. She can do better than that. And then he's like, would you like to go to dinner tonight? And she says, craft services? No, not on set.
Yeah.
Like a restaurant.
A real date.
And then she's just like, yes, I'd like that. And I think that was something about her that I love too, is just how confident she was.
Mm-hmm.
And insecure at the same time. She kind of reminded me of Mercedes' character in Well Suited for Christmas, like the work she just in that movie, her character just goes for it. She knows what she wants and she goes for it. And I felt like there was a similar energy between both those characters and Barbara here. And so that was really fun. And then there was a really good scene where they find out that Evie is going to be, she missed her plane, so they're going to be late. And he says, don't you look at me like that. I couldn't have her end up with Ted.
Yes.
Yes. And then they have a kiss. And I was kind of frustrated at him for not like going for it more. Like, I didn't understand what his hesitation was.
Yeah.
With that, he's like, oh, that was nice.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, why didn't you just go for it? Like, I guess he's just scared. I guess he was just scared. But I liked that scene. I thought it was a good kiss.
It was sweet. Yeah.
It was good.
So sweet.
And then she says that maybe I'm just the work wife. You don't bring your work wife home as your real wife. Not that I'm thinking about marriage.
Yeah.
It's cute. And then she also says to Evie, she says, with you and Bag Jake, everything is new. Me and Michael have known each other for so long. Maybe there is nothing new for us to find out.
Yeah.
So yeah. I just connected with her in that level. And you get the feeling she hasn't had that many relationships.
Yeah.
You know,
again, I think like you said earlier, just their relationship was new, but also like they've been doing this tap dance around it for years. So it's not fresh. And then we have we've been together for 6 years and he hasn't popped the question. And then we like, it's just relationships at different stages. And like her and Michael are so comfortable with each other. And I think, like you said, like they both obviously have some type of insecurity there. Like, I think this is classic friends to lovers, that insecurity of like, if we do this and it doesn't work, it's going to ruin what we have, which has been fine.
Mm-hmm.
So I think everything, the awkwardness, the you should have went for it, I think it just really played into that insecurity of like, should we ruin what is already going on? That's fine. That's working for us.
I wish we'd had more time so we could have seen the dinner date. I would have loved to have seen what that was all about.
I would have loved to have seen Ted pop out and be like, what's wrong with me living with my grandmother?
Yeah.
We'd like to take a second and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. It's the Hallmarkies Merch Store.
Are you looking for that perfect gift for the postable, hardy, or Hallmarky in your life?
What about getting that t-shirt or hoodie that will help you stand out at your next holiday party?
Now is the time to check out the Hallmarkies Merch Store.
Full of festive designs by artists like Jessica Miller, Carrie from Hallmark Comics, and more.
You can even have more than just shirts, but totes, cell phone cases, notebooks, mugs, and more.
And it isn't just Hallmark. We have designs for Anne of Green Gables, Man from Snowy River, The Nanny, and more.
Every purchase at the merch store goes to help support the podcast and allows us to make the great content you know and love.
There are frequent sales, so go to tpublic.com/stores/hallmarkies or see the link in the description.
That's tpublic.com/stores/hallmarkies.
But it's even kind of funny because we never see them. So.
Yeah, and then they have like this awkward meetup at the craft services, getting coffee. And I just absolutely adored this scene where he's walking by, he overhears her talking to Evie about how she gave up too quick on a man because she didn't like the way that he cut his sandwiches. And he's like, oh, so it was the sandwiches that did me in, right? And then she says, what did me in? Am I too old? Am I too brash? Do I wear too much makeup? There's nothing. You're perfect just the way you are. Then why are you ignoring me?
Yeah.
So good. I'm sorry. I feel like I'm a teenager all of a sudden and not in a good energetic way, in an uncomfortable, I don't know how to act around you way. She says, me too. I told myself for years that you'd never be interested in me. And now I'm worried I'm going to screw everything up, and I don't want to screw everything up. And then yes. She says, yeah, which for his kind of character, like he had a vulnerability that I wasn't expecting when we first get introduced to him. I'm like, oh, this guy's going to be kind of cocky, kind of the movie star kind of thing. Like the, like John Brotherton's character in Lights, Camera, Christmas, you know what I mean? That kind of cocky. I was expecting that, but he had like a real nerd energy about him.
He did.
Very endearing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a romantic. I mean, eventually yeah. We see his romantic come out. She can end up with Ted, you know?
Yes.
It's like he's watched his rom-coms. He's watched rom-coms before.
And then she says, I have an idea. Let's just skip to the part where you and I are real with each other. I had a great time at dinner the other day. I want to have dinner with you again, preferably today, but I'm flexible.
Preferably today.
And he says, I think I can arrange that. And that I feel like is very me. It's the kind of thing that I would say, and probably it would not end up so well as it does here, but I don't like waiting. I'm impatient.
Yeah. I mean, I have to eat tonight. So, and you do too. So we might as well eat together.
And people saying like, oh, we should wait like 2 days or what? No, no, none of that. Like, I want to know now.
So sweet. Yeah.
I thought that whole dynamic was so well acted, so well done, so well written. Just, I don't know. I just absolutely loved that scene.
Yeah. It showed like that confidence, like you said, that she has, and that level of comfort. Like, we do know each other. Like, let's just cut to the point. I want to have dinner with you tonight. Let's do it. You know? Yeah.
And I want to have dinner with you again, preferably tonight.
But I'm flexible, you know? Yes.
Just so good. And it's so hard. And if you only have 80 minutes for these movies to make three relationships all feel fleshed out, all feel earned.
Yeah. I was surprised that we loved this because I was like, this is typically where we just have a lot of problems.
Yeah. And I actually don't think that the title is that good. I think that it would be better to, I don't know, something that gave us an idea that it was going to be more than just Evie and Jake, because the mixed bags is only one part of the movie. So I was thinking like, I would probably call it like Love in LA maybe.
Okay.
Since
it's but then there's Vancouver too. I don't know. Maybe the mixed baggage is just symbolic of like everybody's baggage, you know? Yeah. Like, maybe it does work if you're like one of those philosophical people.
Because even if they're in Vancouver, they're kind of involved in everything in LA, I figured.
Yeah.
But I don't know, something that was a little more, I don't think it shows like how great this movie really is, mixed baggage.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
So if I don't know what they could do, but I loved like if they had, oh, I don't know.
I think mixed baggage works. I mean, when the movie comes on, we see
the first thing we look at before we even see a character is the bags.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the bags that make everything happen, you know, like it, the baggage really is like the driver of the plot. So is it the cutest title? No, but it really works. I think it really does work. Yeah.
It was a really good movie. I just thoroughly enjoyed it. As soon as I watched it, I immediately wanted to watch it again.
Yes!
Which I think is that is just a sign, a temple of these movies really working, is if I immediately am like, I'll watch that scene again.
I know. Oh my gosh. What's the one, the Christmas movie from Lifetime? I was messaging you all about it. I watched it. I think it was from 2020. The heroine was in the wheelchair and she's an actress in a wheelchair. As soon as I finished that one, I was like, I had the same feeling with Mixed Baggage. I was like, oh, I want to watch this again. I can't wait to watch this again. Yes. And like that happens very little with me. Yeah. I feel like.
I love that movie too. Christmas Ever After.
Christmas Ever After. Yes.
Yeah. With Alex Stroker.
Fantastic movie.
I really enjoyed that. And they did have the ending kiss was ruined because of the pandemic, the way they had to shoot it. And they had like a screen between them.
Yeah.
So they couldn't like actually kiss. And it all, it looks super weird, but other than that, I love that movie. I think it's so good. And if that one also is very well written and very sweet. Lifetime, when they hit, they really hit.
Yeah.
And
it was like light on the drama. And I feel like Mixed Baggage didn't really have a lot of drama either. Like I like this approach of like not having a super dark moment, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. The closest that you get is maybe like Raymond's frustration with
Olivia.
Yeah, with Olivia and saying, oh, why don't you just propose something your girlfriends won't make fun of?
Yeah.
That's about as dark as it gets, which I'm fine with.
And they're not even like the core couple, really. I mean, there is the moment where at the time where she thinks that Olivia is with Jake because she finds the ring in Jake's bag. But other than that, like there wasn't like this big dramatic dark moment that we didn't really need. So,
yeah. And I think that there is more realism in that than some people would give credit for, because I don't know. I just feel like if you talk to most people about their love stories, they are kind of corny, you know, like how did we meet them? How did we get together? What was the circumstance? And it's kind of a miracle that anybody gets together. I don't feel like any of these stories is like completely crazy. So,
I don't either. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's at the very least, you can get a lot of enjoyment from hearing all the Canadians. All the bags.
Yeah. Shout out to our friends on Twitter who like went and watched this movie after seeing, you know, us post about it. Hit us up, let us know if you enjoyed it. Like, we hope that you did. It was a winner.
And really, if anybody involved wants to come on, just message us at Hallmark's Podcast on social media or Hallmark's Podcast at Gmail. And we'll set it up, because I would talk to any of these couples. I would talk to anybody involved, because I really loved it.
Don't be so secretive. We want to talk to you.
Yeah.
We loved it. So we have one more.
Yeah.
We have one more. It better go out with a bang, Rachel. Yeah. It has to go out with a bang.
We might be doing another episode of Upside pretty quick. We'll see. It looks good. It looks really good. Sweet on You, I think is what it's called, or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think it is? Like, why don't you think people are really cashing in on? Okay. So like we have Christmas, right? We have all the Christmas movies, and then January, it gets kind of quiet, which I'm kind of salty about. I know not everybody cares about New Year's, but I'm like, do you know how many fun rom-coms you could do on New Year's? Like,
yeah,
let's put that same energy into some, because I mean, it's like you get Christmas and then things just kind of stop. Why don't you feel like even Valentine's Day, why don't we see more movies set around Valentine's Day?
Yeah, I don't know if it's just that like the Super Bowl kind of overtakes everything, and that's what gets all the ratings as people are watching football and stuff.
We need a Hallmark channel like commercial or up TV like during the Super Bowl. Like, just pay the money, guys.
They used to have the Kitten Bowl.
Yeah.
So but they don't have that anymore. I mean, part of it is they just weren't making rom-coms for so long. period. And, you know, Hallmark would do the countdown to Valentine's, but they changed it to Loveuary. So because you could only do countdown to Valentine's for half of the month. If you're being literal, which they were. And so then now they changed to Loveuary so they can do the whole month. And we're finally getting this sort of rebirth of rom-coms, you know, last year after like a huge drought at the cinemas, to have Marry Me and Lost City and Ticket to Paradise.
You liked the Sandra Bullock one, Lost City, more than Ticket to Paradise, right?
Yes, I would say so. Yes, I enjoyed all three. I gave all three positive recommendations, but yeah, I mean, in Ticket to Paradise, they are extremely unlikable. Both of them are jerks, but the charisma ekes it out, I guess. And the tropical setting and it's just charming enough to work, but yeah, they are pretty unlikable in what they do to their daughter and everything. Although it is kind of crazy because she's getting married after like knowing this guy for I think a month. She's just over there on vacation, so I can understand why they're like, oh. But nevertheless, they still shouldn't like lie to her.
yeah.
But I still enjoyed it, and I'm so happy that they all did well, and that hopefully we'll be seeing more and more rom-coms because. Yeah, you know, even if we have to sit through some terrible ones, like Shotgun Wedding was so bad.
That's the one I'm thinking of, the J-Lo one. Yeah. You know, I loved that one.
You did?
I didn't think that I would.
Yeah. But I'll sit through the bad ones to get the good ones. And certainly Mixed Baggage is one of the good ones. I just absolutely loved it. I mean, I could like extreme nitpick and just wish that I had maybe one more scene with Barbara and Michael at the end, because they have their scene with the sandwiches thing, which is perfect. And that's it. That's the last time we see those two.
Yeah.
I would have loved to see like one more scene with them.
Yeah.
But it was still really, really good. So there we go. I would give it, and using our crown system, I would give this one 5 crowns.
Same.
I thought it was so good.
We want more movies from Allie. She can really write a movie. So Allie, if you're listening to this, Rachel and I loved it. Do another, please, and come on the podcast so we can talk to you and fangirl about this movie.
Please. Well, let us know if you got to see Mixed Baggage, if our constant postings on social media convinced you to watch it. Let us know what you think in the comment section or on Twitter. And Bree, where can people find you?
You can find me on social media at Bree Unabashedly, and I co-host the Categorically Romance podcast.
Great. You can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. So check that out. Also, make sure you're following the podcast on Hallmarkies Pod and Hallmarkies Podcast, all of our social media. And I'll put in the description our Upside Episodes playlist. So you want to check that out and check out the Patreon group and merch store. That's the biggest way that you can help us, help support the podcast. We also just had our Hallmarkies Podcast Awards. So make sure to take a look at that. And thanks so much, everybody. We'll talk to y'all later. Bye.
Bye.